Amen. Proverbs 19 tonight. If you go there in your Bibles, what a great, great thought. Jesus is coming soon, and that's a great reminder for us. Sort of puts things in perspective. I know we get caught up in our schedules, in our week, our responsibilities, and sometimes we forget the big picture. And appreciate that, Michaela. That was a great reminder of what the big picture is all about. And Christ is coming soon. We should keep that in our foreview. First, Proverbs 19. And I'd like us to see this evening sort of a continuation of something that we started last week. And we talked about the opportunity in conflict. I hope that you come and you take notes, because these are things that will help you not only now, but certainly in the future. But just by way of review, I want us to kind of just go back over some of these things that we looked at, and then sort of venture into some new territory tonight that has some connections, though, in what we looked at last week. We talked about last week, how do we respond? How do people respond to conflict? And we really looked at three main responses in regards to that. And conflict can come as a result of a lot of different things. We highlighted just a few last week. Misunderstandings can create conflict because of poor communication. Differences in values and in goals. Some heated debates often take place when two opposing views come together. Sometimes because of competitive reasons, whether it's, you know, on the soccer field or on a court, or just one person trying to outdo the other in some way, shape, or form. Competition many times produces conflict. And then really when you boil a lot of these things down, you find that it just relates to our sin nature. Us not being the type of people that we ought to be in Christ, and giving place and giving way to sins that produce conflict and ultimately are rooted in pride. We looked at some of those things, but how do people respond to those conflicts once they happen? And we looked at three things, right? We looked at the escape response, that this was sort of related to peace faking. This is the denial, the flight, or the just the getting yourself as far away from the conflict or the person in conflict that you can. And there are different stages to that. And some people never resolve conflict and they just avoid people. You know, conversation kind of went crossways with that person, and so I just don't talk to them. And pretty soon they have a whole batch of people that they just don't talk to, because conflict is inevitable. And it happens, and there are things that we have to work through, but the escape response, the peace faking, is not the right response. We looked at another extreme, and that's the attack response, and that's the peace breaking. That's the person that's on the front foot of attacking and going after the person that there's a conflict against, and this can manifest itself in both verbal and physical assault. Those are obviously some things that we, physical assault, hope those things do not happen. But then sometimes that can manifest itself in court, people taking you to court. And then obviously somebody just gets so tired of what you're doing that, you know, they people murder people. And that's the furthest extent of the attack that you possibly can take it. And that's the opposite of that idea of peace faking, where you're just kind of removing yourself from the conflict, going up against conflict and they're acting out. That's the other extreme. And then what are we supposed to focus on? What are we supposed to pursue as Christian? And then this is the peacemaking response. This is how God intends us to deal with our conflict. And we notice the several layers of that: overlooking an offense, restoration, negotiation, talking through the nuts and bolts of how this conflict occurred and what type of resolution we can pursue. And then there's even getting assistance, right? We see that in communicated in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians in regards to the church. And Jesus actually talked about it in the book of Matthew. Hey, if you have an issue between yourself and someone else and you guys can't work it out yourself, it's actually a healthy and spiritual thing to reach out to someone else who can be subjective, objective, and help you out in the process. Sometimes we're too close to things that we cannot figure the solution, and that's why we have people that we can go to and then gain that assistance. But that's all part of the package of being a peacemaker that the Lord wants us to be. So let's sort of develop this thought a little bit more. And by doing so, I want us to go back to the idea of overlooking an offense, okay? And ask this question, is this really worth fighting over? Notice with me Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, what the Bible says here. Proverbs 19 verse 11 says this here, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. All right, now we're going to get into this a little bit about what this means to pass over a transgression, but I want to pose the question to you, and I don't know if you've ever posed the question to yourself where you have maybe gotten into some type of argument or conflict, and then you just stopped yourself after things had reached a certain level and asked yourself, why are we even fighting over this? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever just gotten into it with a sibling or somebody else that had an opposing view, and you're like, this is something small, but I'm planting my flag. I am not giving up ground. And, you know, I know that that macaroni box has 300 calories in it, okay? I know it. Well, I don't think it does. Well, it does. And by George, I'm going to prove it, you know. And then all of a sudden, this thing that means nothing has all of a sudden escalated into something that just really becomes down to, I don't want to be wrong, and I'm going to do whatever I can not to be, right? And we get to a place where we become totally emotionally invested, and we're not even thinking clearly. And these are things that have happened to everybody. I was reading today, and I thought this was really funny. There was a reading about the pettiest wars in history. And there was a war into the fifth and sixth century in Arabia that was a 40-year span, and it was a war between two cousins. Okay, families got involved. I mean, people were killed, land was taken. It was like crazy conflict, and it was all over a camel. I mean, the reason was because of a camel, all right? Cousins got together to see each other. One cousin brought a camel, let the camel graze around the other cousin's lawn. A cousin's relative that lived in the house came out, saw a camel on the lawn that didn't recognize, and he shot it. And by camel. Camel's gone, all right? Killed the camel. The camel is gone. And now we have a war on our hands for the next 40 years. Okay, you talk about the most pettiest wars in history. That was one of them. Okay, and how did it start? Well, just in terms of war, something small, and yet it completely spun out of control into a place that was very, very unhealthy, and resulted in a lot of damage for sure. So let's ask the question today: is this really worth fighting over? And I want us to classify some things that would be smart and would be scriptural to pass over and kind of look at this a little bit. You're in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, and I want to ask this question as we start. Number one, what does it mean to overlook an offense? Now, this is what we're talking about. What does it mean? You notice here, the discretion of man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The idea of that word pass over indicates that a divide has occurred. Okay, so there is a situation, some way, shape, or form that has been created here between myself and another person. Okay, they may be aware of it, or they may not be aware of it, but I am most definitely aware of it. And now there's a divide. There's just a little something between us. And what Solomon is saying here is that it is the glory of a man in that situation to just go ahead and to pass over that. In other words, I'm going to say, you know what, I feel like there's something between us, and I don't know if you understood what you did here. I don't know if you realize what that statement, how that made me feel, but I'm going to go ahead and give the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to pass over it. I'm going to put it behind me. And so you kind of see the framework here that Solomon is dealing with. And this is a conscious choice that is inspired by the mercy of God. How many times is the Lord merciful to us in ways that we don't deserve mercy? How many times is God forgiving of us when really we probably do not deserve His forgiveness? And yet God is merciful, and yet God is gracious, and the Lord would want us to be the very same way. And Solomon brings this out here. So it is a deliberate choice, and it is inspired by God's mercy. And it means to deliberately decide not to talk about, to dwell on, to let it grow into pin up bitterness. It means that you and I quietly and deliberately give the benefit of the doubt and move on. Are you in the habit of doing that? There are other passages that we can look at too. Go ahead to Proverbs chapter 12, just a few chapters back. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. Similar verse. Notice Proverbs 12 and verse 16. It says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." You have a wise man, a foolish man interacting here. And a wise man is he that covereth shame. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Back a couple of more chapters here. Proverbs chapter 10. And notice verse 12. "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." So what does it mean here to overlook a transgression? Okay, it is a conscious choice inspired by God to move on from something, a divide that has occurred. But let's ask a few more questions. Not only what does it mean, but let's ask this question. This is the main thought here that we're going to work the rest of our Bible study on tonight. And that's, how do I know if I should overlook a transgression? How do I know if this is something that I need or would qualify as something that the Lord would want me to overlook? Are there some things that should not be overlooked, some transgressions? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. There are some things that should not be overlooked. Well, let's talk about what qualifies here for a second. Number one, get perspective on the issue itself. Get perspective on the issue itself. Let's break this down a little bit. Ask the question, what is the problem? Okay, so just for the sake of the message tonight, I want you to think about some conflicts that have entered your life. Okay, maybe there's something that has happened even this week, just a spoken word between you and someone else. There was maybe some tension, and maybe it wasn't even identified, but in the moment, you walked away from it and just thought, well, you know, something happened there, and I'm not really sure what it was. I want you to think about some conflict tonight. And what is so helpful oftentimes is to step away and just get some perspective on the issue itself. You ever been so close to something before that you just could not gain proper perspective on it? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, where you're just right up on it and you just don't have a fair view of the issue. You know, I think there were some times in high school I did not have a fair view of how dirty my room was. I was there. I was there not all the time, but I was there a lot of the time. And, you know, I got used to seeing things the way that they were. And sometimes it took another perspective to come in and say, whoa. What? Well, you got it. Sometimes we're so close to something that we don't even see the problem. And so it's helpful for us to step back just a little bit and gain some perspective, right? So gain perspective on the issue itself and identify what kind of issue this is. There are two kinds of issues. There are material issues and there are personal issues. Okay, so what would a material issue be relating to conflict? Okay, well, this would be matters that would involve such things as maybe money. or some type of resource or property. This is mine, or this is yours. This could be also relating to responsibilities, things that I'm supposed to do or didn't do. Oftentimes, conflict arises from material issues themselves. So conflict evolves from a difference of opinion regarding maybe just stuff. You know, how much you owe me some money, right? Okay, conflict. All right. You took my banana at lunchtime, but conflict, okay? Just conflict regarding, you know, and revolving around, you know, stuff. I had this owed to me, conflict. Okay, these are material things, okay? So step back and ask yourself the question, okay, you know, what am I fighting over here, really? Okay, what's going on here? What does this boil down to? Is this a material issue or a personal issue? The second thing, of course, is a personal issue, and this relates to what goes on inside and between two people. So this involves more of our attitudes and our feelings. Okay, this is a personal issue. Okay, it's James didn't treat me right. You know, when I came in tonight, he knocked me to the floor, said nothing. It sounds like him, doesn't it? Ethan, I said, "How you doing?" He said nothing. You know, he didn't treat me right. And now Ethan would always say the nice thing. I know Ethan, okay. James wouldn't, but Ethan would, okay. Personal issues, you know, they hurt my feelings. Okay. Did you really think about how I felt in that moment? Okay. These are personal issues. Sometimes we have material issues relating to resources, stuff. Other times we have things where it's just there's some hurt feelings. There's an attitude that we're on the receiving end of or on the giving end of that was not right. And so we get perspective on the issue itself. We boil it down. Is this a material issue? Is this a personal issue? And once we've sorted out the issues, we can begin to decide what steps we need to take to resolve the problem. And so we ask, is this really worth fighting over? And let me make this statement because I think this is very key to this whole discussion. And that is this: when significant personal or material issues are involved, the answer to this question will be yes. Okay? Let me say that again. When we're asking the question, is this really something that is worth fighting over, or is this something to pass over? When significant personal or material issues are involved, the answer to this question will be yes. You say, "Really, Scott, define significant." Well, okay, it is a relative term. I understand that. All right? But let's go a little deeper here, and this will again help us just a little bit to answer the overall question we're asking tonight. So, get perspective on the issue itself. Second of all, get perspective on what the issue has done. Okay, because there is the core of the argument or the issue at hand, but then there is also, which relates to that, what that issue has now created. What is happening? As this issue that maybe was so small at one point is now expanding outward. Oh, so we ask the question. We have to get perspective on what the issue has done. The issue should not have created a wall between you and the other person. Okay, this is a biblical principle. Okay, whatever this issue is, whatever this conflict is, whether it's hurt feelings or whether it's revolving around an object or stuff, this issue should not have created a wall between you and somebody else. Okay, it is not the right action to take when someone has hurt you deeply, significantly, and now you are saying there is a massive wall between me and them, and now I'm just never going to talk to them ever again. Yes, it is my sister. Yes, it is my brother. We're done. Okay. Now, that is never the right action to take. Okay, if there is a massive wall, the action is always needs to be taken, not to pass over. Right. So the issue should not have created a wall between you and the other person. And number two, the issue should not be causing harm to anyone's reputation. Okay? It should not be causing harm to anyone's reputation. Again, these are biblical principles. I wish we had the time tonight to trace all of these things, but we do not. And what do we mean by anyone's reputation? Well, is God's reputation hanging in the balance here? Because God's reputation does matter. Okay, you look at the Old Testament and how many times the Old Testament leaders would say, "Lord, we want your name to be praised in all of Israel." What are they saying there? They're saying, "Lord, we don't want anything to take away from your reputation." Okay, so when there is a conflict in some way, shape, or form that perhaps is tarnishing or will tarnish the reputation of God in some way, shape, or form, chances are we need to take action. Second of all, not only God's reputation, but maybe the offender. Okay, in other words, the person who has offended me. Okay, maybe they got up in class and they just muttered out a bunch of things that were lies. And their reputation matters, because if those things are lies, then you know they're going to be known as a liar. And if you're on the receiving end of that and lies are said about you, well, that's also something that you should be concerned with, because your reputation does matter as well. You know, these are things that are more significant and should be pursued in taking proper steps. And what I mean by that is you go to that person. I remember there was a particular situation one of my last years at college where there was some, I got wind that somebody had said something about me, and it was communicated to a couple of other people, and then those people came and told me, and they said, "Hey, just so you're aware." And I was really disappointed in that, number one, because it was a lie, I was faced with a little bit of a dilemma. What do I do with this? Do I just ignore it, let it go away? No, my reputation is on the line, and I want to keep a good testimony. So I went to that person, and I said, "Hey, I heard something, and I didn't know if maybe you misconstrued something or I communicated something that was not accurate at some point, but did you say this?" And they said, "Well, yeah, I did, but I kind of thought that," I said, "Well, you know, that's just really not true, and I appreciate it if you wouldn't go around saying that about me." You know, and they're really gracious about it. But that's the type of thing, when your life intersects with something like that, action needs to be taken because a reputation is on the line. So we get perspective on the issue itself. Well, and define what is the issue. Then we get perspective on what the issue has done. Has it created a wall between me and another person? Or has the issue in some way caused harm to someone's reputation? And then number three, this is where I want to spend the remainder of our time. And if you go to the book of Philippians, this is where we're going to finish out this evening. Really neat passage here that actually speaks about conflict between two people. Philippians chapter 4. But as you're going there, the third thing that I want to mention is we need to analyze our attitude. So get perspective on the issue itself. Get perspective on what the issue has done, and then analyze your attitude. Analyze your attitude. The Apostle Paul here addresses the church at Philippi, but in particular, two people to whom was a known conflict taking place. Now, we're not told what this conflict was. It could have been something very small. It could have been something that was on a larger scale. But Paul addresses the type of attitude that he wants these two people who are in the middle of the conflict, he wants them to have. Okay, and I think this is a great thing for you and I to check our own attitudes in regards to how we approach any particular conflict, and to make sure that our heart is in accordance with certain benchmarks. Notice what he says in Philippians chapter 4 here. And in verse number 2, he mentions these two ladies that he's talking about. "I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, I'll be very honest with you tonight. I'm glad that my parents did not give me these names, okay? But nonetheless, They were their names in the New Testament period. So notice now the attitude as he gets into it. Verse 4 here, he says, and this is in great correlation. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Notice verse 5, he says, let your moderation or gentleness be known unto all men. Jump down to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Drop down to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, what of things be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me do, peace of God shall be with you. He gives five attitude markers here that I think are imperative for us, and I'm just going to give them to you. We don't have time to develop all of these thoughts as we go through them. But notice number one, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Check your attitude concerning conflict and ask yourself the question, am I rejoicing in the Lord? Say, is it possible to rejoice in the Lord in conflict? Well, it must be, because Paul is telling these two ladies to do this exact same thing. What does that type of thing look like? Well, it's an attitude of, Lord, I want to be in the right place in regards to this conflict. I want to be the person you want me to be. Lord, I'm trying as best as I know how to delight in you, even though I am in the middle of conflict right at this moment. And it's a benchmarker for our attitude in conflict. And not only does he say, rejoice in the Lord, but the second thing says here that our gentleness should be known. Our gentleness should be known. Is your gentleness in regard to conflict known by the people around you? Now, if your flesh is anything like Brother Scott's flesh, when conflict comes, disagreement, difference of opinion, and discussions begin, they believe this, I believe this, the temperature starts to rise as the debating goes on. And maybe something is said that maybe makes you upset. Attacks or assume something wrong about your character. I find it difficult to sit in that moment and to think good about that person. Okay, what do we want to do when we're in that position? Boy, we want to throw everything in the kitchen sink. Well, you don't do this, and you do this, and you're doing this to me all the time. And we like to expand the conflict a lot of times, throw the kitchen sink at them. Okay, but what Paul is saying here is, in the middle of conflict, to have a state of mind that says, Lord, I just want what you want, rejoicing in the Lord, and I'm going to make sure that my gentleness is known in this conflict. There have been times where I've been worked up about something, and I get worked up from time to time, and I've maybe come home or something, had something on my mind, and walked in and, Miss Christina can tell that my level is up here. I'm in that mode, and it's not anything it's not like anger or anything like that. But I'm just not coming down off the mountain yet. And she maybe asks me a question, and I kind of fire back, and I'm in that mode. And there are times that she just says, "Sweetheart, are you okay?" And when she does that with that gentleness applied. Well, I came out a little strong, didn't I? I just kind of start to melt. And that's what gentleness does. Now if you and I are antagonistic and we come out swinging, boy, that's just, they're going to match that with intensity. But gentleness, boy, that just de-escalates everything. And it's an attitude that we should have. Let your gentleness be known in conflict. What else does he say here? Number three, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You're talking to God through the conflict. Lord, I want to be where I need to be. But Lord, would you help them to be where they need to be? Lord, would you help both of us to be spiritual in this? Lord, maybe this is something I need to pass over. Maybe I have made a molehill into a mountain. Lord, forgive me for that if I've done that. But Lord, would you give me clarity to see this conflict and to have wisdom regarding it? An attitude of prayer. Notice the third thing that he mentions here is prayer. And then he says these things which have, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, of good report. And this, what is he doing here? He's thinking the best about the other person. And you and I need to climb into this mindset probably more than we do. Sometimes we walk around with a chip on our shoulder and we just dare people to knock it off. You know, whoa, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Yeah, okay. Sometimes we can be so nitpicky about things. You know, I remember my sister and I, she's 18 months older than, still is 18 months older than I am. But I remember when we were especially younger, how, you know, things would reach a level in the back seat of the car. And, you know, mom or dad would say, all right, that's enough. It's enough. All right, anybody ever been there? You know, you're with a sibling. All right, that's enough. And I'm sitting over there like, all right, how can I bait her? And when I get her to do whatever, I would tell mom and dad. They're going to hear about it. And so, I mean, it could be the smallest, hey, you know what she did? She just did it. You know, sometimes I go like, ow, Danielle, why'd you hit me? You know, I did not. Oh, it was just fun, you know. Don't do that. But we can almost bait people in to an argument. Sometimes we're just looking with the most critical eye so that we can catch them in a moment. And you know, that's the furthest what Paul's telling us to do. He's saying, hey, listen, cut that stuff out. Think the best about that person. Say, Brother Scott, I just want to think about all the things they've done to me and all of that just goes through my mind. Discipline your mind and your attitude. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely about that person. And then the last thing he says here in verse 10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that in your," verse 9, those things which ye have both learned. And notice the language. He's addressing these two ladies. He says, those things which ye have both learned. Okay, he's not saying, oh, Syntyche, you did this. It's all you, okay, sister? You need to get it together. No, he says, listen, the things that you have both learned. And what does he say? And received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know, he doesn't even address the issue here. He does address the heart. And I'm telling you, when our heart is in the right place in regards to conflict, I'm telling you, so much of everything else follows suit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts in mind. There are some things that people in this room, myself included, you know, we need to get our hearts in a better place and just pass over. You know, well, you know, they said this to me, and I think they kind of had a little bit of an act. Let's just pass over. In closing, I just finished a project at the house doing some crown molding. I enjoy home projects as long as I don't mess up. But putting up the crown molding, it's a lot of fun in that you put it up, and one of my favorite things to do is to finish it off. You know, when you put it up there, it looks pretty raw. It's you know, the painting's not all done yet. You know, there may be some gaps that need to be touched up here and there. When you're putting the crown molding up, you determine where the studs are. And when you put the nails in, it impacts the board. And most of the time, it impacts enough to create an indention in the wood where the nail is now driven in, not too far, but it's now you know, beneath the surface. But there's usually an indention. And these indentions are not real prominent indentions. If you did nothing to them, you could probably walk in my house, and if you just kind of walked along the wall, you would see these indentions. But one of the things that you have to do when you put up crown molding is you take some compound and you put it in that just smallest of indentions in the nail hole. You fill it and take care of it. Now, if it was any bigger, and if it was perhaps any larger, you would have to treat it differently. But you can put some compound in there, let it dry, and then just paint over it. And let me tell you, now you're going to come to my house and you're going to look. All right, don't look. But most of the time, when I go looking up and down the walls, after it's dried, the indentions have been covered and taken care of, I don't even remember where I put the nails. They're filled in. And it's a beautiful thing to me. Okay? But understand the principle, because it's the same way that Solomon said. Okay? He said it is a man's glory. Beautiful thing. To pass over transgression. Now, there are little things with our families. We need to give the benefit of the doubt. Siblings, we just need to patch it up ourselves. Not remember it. Not make a big deal about it. But to move on. And I hope we'll make that choice. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you are not able to come away with anything from the past two messages, I hope that you will come away with the understanding that God has given us a way that works to deal with conflict that enters our lives, whether it be small or great. And most assuredly, there are some things that need to be dealt with. If you have some lingering things in your mind concerning one person that you cannot get away from, you need to deal with that with them personally. If there's some great hurt that's been done because of an event or something that has happened, God has made a way for that, and we talked a lot about that last week. But what we're talking about tonight is having an attitude of that which Paul propagated to these ladies, in which we are seeking to please the Lord. Have a gentleness about us. And so forth. I hope that tonight that you'll make a commitment the rest of this week to give the benefit of the doubt in your home, to make a conscious choice to, I don't have to be right every time and argue your point, but just to be a peacemaker. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our invitation time. Lord, I thank you for your instructions tonight and your word. I pray that we would apply it with the help of your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you're in a place tonight, if God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open as always. I encourage you to take some time to talk to the Lord. He does care about your conflict, and he wants to be your God through the conflict. Maybe tonight things are going really, really well. You say, Brother Scott, I just don't have much conflict in my life. You know, maybe you need to take a second and just thank the Lord for that. We go through seasons. Maybe we need to take our eyes off of the way other people have contributed to our conflict and look at how we have contributed to the conflict. Lord, what's my part? What have I done in this? All right, everybody can look up here. And I just encourage you, if there's something that's going on in your life right now, some particular conflict, and you need just somebody to talk to about it and need some direction, we'd love to be able to talk to you about something if you would like. So seek us out as we're available, and we'd love to do that.